joined now by Shea Theodore, Vegas Golden Knights defenseman, who was named the Golden Knights nominee for the Bill Masterton Trophy. This is after overcoming testicular cancer and having the best statistical season of his career. You can read it in a fantastic article that he wrote for the Players Tribune. Shea Theodore joins us now. Shea, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you?
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
The pleasure is all ours, and it was pretty much a year ago when your whole life changed, Shea, and we're going to get to the Masterton nod here in a couple of seconds, but take us back to the IIHF World Championships and how your life changed.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a pretty pivotal moment in my life, you know, going there and, you know, expecting just to play hockey, but, you know, finding out, you know, some other things about your life. And, you know, it's kind of a blessing in disguise what happened. And, you know, I kind of went into a lot more detail in the article that that I wrote about it. But, no, it's, you know, it's something that definitely changed for the better. And, you know, hopefully a lot of people are more aware about the topic now.
You know, when you go through something like that, it causes you and forces you to look inside, and you end up learning something about yourself. You learn a lot about people that are around you and who's there for support and who's not. But what did you learn, Shea Theodore, about yourself through your entire situation with testicular cancer?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think you do, in general, just take life for granted a lot of times. You know, you just go through the day-to-day and, you know, playing in the NHL, I think we just have this mode where it's just practice, you know, you go to bed, you wake up, you eat, you go to practice, you play games, you know. But there's a lot more to it. And I think, you know, with everything that happened, you know, I'm trying to help people's lives and you know, hopefully impact them for the better from now on.
Stewie?
Shay, when I played my first year in the league, I got sent down 9 times between Florida and Rochester, and I can imagine the craziness and the mental grind it is. How was it for you? And I think it was 13 times you got shuttled back and forth between the NHL and the minors. How was that mentally, you know, coming up as a young player in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think it was more than that. I'm not sure exactly the number, but yeah, it was tough. I think it was good to be in San Diego. You know, it's only like an hour and a half drive, so, you know, that wasn't too bad. But, you know, obviously the highs and the lows are a lot different, you know, when you're driving that hour, getting called up, as opposed to driving the hour and a half, you know, getting sent down. So, you know, that was a pretty crazy time in my career for sure.
Man, every time, I'll tell you, just as a media person, every time I would get the email from Alex Gilchrist, I'm like, okay, not again. Oh, geez. Oh, not again. Oh, here we go. One thing I do want to ask you quickly about San Diego, and I'm going to hand this over to Justin. In San Diego, Dallas Eakins is the head coach. Marty Wilford, who's now on the bench with the Anaheim Ducks, handled the D. And he did a wonderful job with a lot of those defensemen that now find themselves up in the NHL. And you think of Brandon Montour specifically. What did Marty Wilford mean to you as a player?
Yeah, geez, that's really taken it back a couple of years. But no, he was great. He was always awesome. You know, him and Dallas did a great job that when I was down there. And you know, when you're a young D-man coming into the league, you kind of need that, you know, that coach that you can lean on and kind of ask stuff. You know, I felt like he really helped my game and a lot of the smaller aspects when you're trying to turn pro. And you know, he was great.
Go ahead, Justin.
Shea, one thing that really caught my eye when reading that Players Tribune article, we all gave it a read before we had you on today. The one thing that caught my eye was that you have a group chat in Vegas between all the players and their wives, which to me, I'm unfamiliar with. That's unbelievable. And I was hoping that you could tell us a little bit about not just that, but the camaraderie of a hockey team in general, just how important it was to you through that time, why this Knights team is special. Tell us about the camaraderie of a hockey family, really.
Yeah, so I think you might have got that mixed up a little bit. So we have our own group chat with the guys, and then the wives have their like separate group chat where, like, I don't know, all the birthday messages go out and, you know, stuff like that. But
okay.
So, you know, it's pretty funny just because, you know, our group chat, it's pretty dumbed down. Like, you know, practice, we have practice tomorrow, and, you know, not too many guys reply, or going for dinner when we're on the road, stuff like that. But just so I just had my girlfriend kind of put it, you know, in the girls group chat, kind of, because that's where, you know, I think there's some more action on news actually being read. So we had her kind of put it in there just to tell everyone. And obviously, if you tell, you know, if you're telling all the girls, then, you know, the guys are going to know pretty quick. So, you know, that's kind of how we did it. But we have such a tight group here in Vegas. Like, you know, I think 12 hours after I had the surgery, you know, Patches, he's such a good guy, him and his wife, they got me meals from, you know, a nice healthy restaurant here in Vegas where we could choose, you know, three meals a day for the full week. And, you know, I was on the couch hurting for, you know, about a week and a half where I couldn't really move, and you know, obviously couldn't cook food. So having that stuff being able to be delivered was really helpful.
Okay, I got to ask you about the Vegas group chat, because in every group chat, there's always one guy that goes on way too long and annoys everybody else. Do you have one of those players? And if you feel like it, share it with the audience here today.
Yeah, I mean, I think Schmitty is known as the louder guy in our group. You know, right now he's sending, you know, essays and emails in there, which is absolutely pivotal information with what's going on right now. He's kind of the guy looping us all into all the talks and what's going on. So yeah. It's probably good for him, you know, to have guys actually read what he's putting in there. And no, but he's doing a great job of it. It's awesome.
I tell you what, from a media point of view, that guy is a delight, by the way. He is a dream every time you talk to him. With Shea Theodore, the Vegas Golden Knights, yesterday nominated for the Bill Masterton after overcoming testicular cancer. What does that nod mean to you to have, you know, the media in Vegas say that, you know, you're the nominee this year?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think, you know, when you look it around at all the nominees around the league, you know, each guy has their own, you know, individual story on, you know, what's happened or, you know, what they've overcome. And, you know, it's an honor to be, you know, the nomination for the Golden Knights. And, you know, I guess we'll see where it takes from there.
Stewie?
How important is it to have a player, not just on the ice, but off the ice in the dressing room, a player like Ryan Reeves?
Yeah, he's pretty funny. You know, he's definitely a guy that keeps you on your toes when you're at the rink, whether it's, you know, a couple pranks here and there or just a couple laughs. But, you know, he's an awesome guy to have around the room. And, you know, he definitely brightens up a lot of our days, that's for sure.
Where do you feel like the Knights are at headed to the return to play here? I feel like the Pacific Division was kind of always up for grabs, and it always felt like there was more there in Vegas than we had really seen in the direct results. How do you feel about how you guys are positioned if, in fact, everything comes back to happen here in the coming months?
Yeah, I think we feel good. I think, you know, it was definitely a shock with that coaching change early, but, you know, it's something that we took upon ourselves that, you know, it was a message from management that we had to play better. And, you know, I think when you look at our record, you know, ever since that change, you know, I thought we'd be playing real good hockey. You know, I thought down the stretch we were playing a lot of our own Pacific Division, you know, teams, and, you know, we were having good results. So I think coming out of this break, you know, having everyone healthy and, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be interesting to see where these playoffs take us.
From a player's point of view, I am curious about that coaching change. And coaching changes happen all the time, but it's rare considering that how much of a rivalry that has developed between Vegas and San Jose. Was it a little bit weird to see Peter DeBoer walk into that room?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think you know, that was the first shock, you know, having him come in. But you know, once they kind of said his name, that, you know, he was the guy that was coming in, you know, they backed it up with all the facts, you know, the stats from the teams that he's coached. You know, he's been to the Stanley Cup final, you know, things like that. And, you know, sometimes I think you need that change of voice in the room. And, you know, I thought it ended up being great for us.
You know, I don't think that NHL players specifically should worry about things like underlying numbers or analytics. I really don't. But something happened to this Vegas team when Peter DeBoer took over the squad. All of a sudden, you guys turned into the possession monsters once again. All of a sudden, all those numbers got a huge lift. From your point of view, though, what happened? Like, what caused that? Like, what changed specifically from your point of view? Because it seemed like it was a different team, a hungrier team, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that can just happen with the change. I mean, guys know that we weren't playing up to par. Having a new voice come in and, you know, implement some different systems. And I think when you get a change in the practices and what you're doing every day, you're definitely thinking the game a little bit more. I think we had, the same drills over the first 2.5 years, where when you have a new voice come in practice and, you know, you're really thinking about things. We were really working on our breakouts and, you know, our systems and stuff like that. And, I think when you have to think a lot more in practice, and I think you're thinking the game a lot quicker.
Stewie?
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who's the tougher of the two? One player that I did fight was Revo, and one player that I decided I would not want to get caught fighting was Derek England. So in your opinion, who would you rather not fight?
I would rather not fight Revo for sure. I mean, I the size that guy's hands, it is incredible. Like, I feel like it's just stupid how big this guy's hands are. And, you know, he's a big man.
Shay, has anything changed in your personal mindset about maybe your own confidence level? Like, just watching you play, like, it feels like you found something here the past couple of years where, you know, you can be one of the game's elite players. Do you feel like it was just a matter of time getting to where you are? Do you feel like something changed in your head where you're like, all right, this is, you know, this is how I want to be playing all the time?
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously confidence is the biggest thing. I think when you start to play with more confidence and, you start to get rewarded for some opportunities like that, I think it helped build my game a little bit. We have such a great team and, you know, especially having Martinez come in at the deadline, I thought I connected well with him as soon as he came in. And, there's a lot of little factors that go into it, but I think just confidence is the biggest thing. And, when you're playing confident, I think you're playing your best hockey.
With Shea Theodore of the Vegas Golden Knights, and I want to end on this one. You were a 4-year Seattle Thunderbird, so you know that market well. And Team 32 is on the horizon, and that is Seattle. Give us your experience of playing hockey in Seattle, how viable a market it is, what the hockey community is like in Seattle, and sort of what your expectations are for Team 32, Shay.
I think it's going to be incredible. Everyone I talk to about it, you know, my experience in Seattle was awesome. The city's a beautiful city. We played about 45 minutes south of downtown, so we were a bit away, but, you know, we had sold out crowds pretty much every night. And, it was a great atmosphere. We had a good rivalry with Everett, which was a lot closer to downtown. But, I think you look at the season tickets that they sold right out of the gate, you know, they're hungry for it, and that's going to be a great spot.
And finally, how was Matthew Barzal as a 16-year-old?
He was funny. He was a funny kid. I still talk to him, you know, every now and then, and I see him in the summer. But, you know, you could see how good he was going to become. His skating, just his vision, his passing, I think everything, you know, watching him come into the league as a 16-year-old, you knew he was going to be good. But it was quite funny to see the not quite refined game that he has now, but I think it's incredible watching him play. I mean, you look at his highlight packages, you know, now with the Islanders, you know, he can do it all. He's such a special player. So I think to be able to get a glimpse of what he was like as a 16-year-old, it's kind of a little treat for myself.